Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, happy Monday, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. Today, before we welcome our guest, I'd like to take a moment and thank our sponsors, the folks over at Markham Search. Markham Search LLC offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States with offices in New York, California, and in Boston. So a special thank you to our sponsors and to our guest today, Catherine Solomon. As an author, speaker, and coach, Catherine's mission is to keep women working towards financial security in a flexible way alongside child and aging parent caregiving roles. In her new book, Ambition Redefined, and in discussions with women nationwide, she encourages no apologies independence from the lean in, break the ceiling, break the glass ceiling mantra. Her message is to find your own brand of ambition and success and to take full advantage of today's more flexible workplace. Chart alternate career paths that can accommodate and fund life and tuck all generations of your family into a future that's financially secure and safe. As a mother of two daughters, Catherine has worked nonstop since the age of 16 in many flexible ways. As her family needs ebbed and flowed, she negotiated flexible full-time and part-time schedules with demanding employers, launched a variety of entrepreneurial ventures solo and with partners, established independent marketing communications and career coaching practices, and worked in a home office as a telecommuter and generated a wide range of freelance projects, all while managing a household, carpooling, attending school plays, tending to sudden health issues of aging parents and in-laws, and taking the dog to the vet and making yet another dinner. She co-founded Women at Work Network in 2002, one of the first companies focused on helping women to return to the workforce. And she's also created and led hundreds of workshops that help current professional women sustain and advance flexible careers. She leads pragmatic, compelling discussions for internal corporate women's groups, financial advisors focused on retirement security for women, college alumni and career services programs, as well as women's professional and community organizations. Thanks so much for joining us today, Catherine.
Oh, it's great to be here.
Yeah, so tell me a little bit about your story. What was your trajectory? How did you wind up being so passionate about giving women this access to flexible work schedules?
Well, when I was in college, I heard Gloria Steinem speak, and she said, and this was back in the early 80s, and she said that women could have it all. She has retreated a little bit from that and phrased it a little differently. But when I heard it, I decided that that was my permission and mission to go forward and have it all. And so I started out in the typical full-time working for an employer way. And I saw that the women who were in more senior positions were either not married or they were married and they didn't have children. And when I had my second job, which was at Institutional Investor magazine, there were so many really smart and talented young women working there. And I saw this phenomenon of women getting married, and they would, they might stay in the workforce through the first child. But when the second child came along, they were gone. And so I started looking at that and saying, I don't want to go that way because I've always worked since I was 16. And I also knew that I wanted to get married and have a family, but I'm a plan ahead person. So I started thinking that I would need to have my own business. So I left Institutional Investor. I was married at the time. We didn't have children, but I was planning ahead, and I created my own business. And I saw that that was going to afford me a lot of flexibility. And then when our first child was born, I, you know, had my own firm, and I was able to do everything that I wanted to do as a mother, obviously with some babysitters helping, but also keep my professional fires burning. And then I started Women at Work Network to help women who were returning to the workforce. And as I was doing that, the workforce was starting to change a lot. It was no longer that you had to start your own business to have flexibility. And I'm a firm believer that not everyone is cut out to have their own business. Not everyone is what I call type E. But I saw that, you know, as the years went on, that there are so many opportunities now for women to work in a flexible way that don't necessarily have to be having your own business. And I realized that women were still thinking that there was only one way to work. And so I decided to write my book so that I could tell women about all these different flexible ways to work, but also put my stake in the ground and say, I do think that women should always work, but work in a flexible way alongside their family responsibilities.
It's funny you say that women should always work, because I, of course, do teasers about this sort of stuff on social media. And I got a little bit of flack from some people on social media when I asked the question, should women always work? And some people kind of threw it out there and said, well, nobody should do anything, that we should all have a choice to be able to work or not work, be it male or female. But then some other people kind of started commenting on social about, why doesn't this question get posed to men? So it's an interesting double standard of why we do ask this question of women, but not of men.
Well, you know, I feel that it's kind of silly to say that, you know, why aren't we asking men this question? Because when you really boil it down, if people are really honest, women still bear the brunt of caregiving for children and for aging parents, even if the aging parent is an in-law. Those are just facts. And no matter how much the, you know, millennial males may be taking out the garbage more, or you know, picking kids up from school occasionally, fact is that it's not 50-50, and you could debate whether it should be 50-50 or whether it will ever be 50-50, but right now it's not. And so the reason that I say women should always work, it's not because I'm saying that women should always, you know, be reaching for power and prestige, or be trying to make as much money as they possibly can for material reasons. What I'm saying, and what always seems to be left out of this conversation, or, you know, which can start to get pretty heated, is, and, you know, there's a lot of, you know, women can have it all, but not at the same time, you know, all those sorts of things. What I'm saying is, don't forget about the financial piece of this, not, again, for material so that you can buy a bigger house, but work is not only a way to capitalize on your education or get a portfolio of skills or whatever. Work is a means to financial security. And if you really sit down and think about it, if your financial security is not airtight, and I mean airtight means that you can afford a 30-year retirement and you can, you know, live comfortably in the way that you want to live, and you can fund all of life's you never knows in a blink of an eye, and you know, no matter what, that you're always going to be able to do that. Then, if you're a woman and you have, you know, caregiving responsibilities, and you want to stay home, stay home. But if your financial security is not airtight, and that is most people in this country, even the people who live in affluent areas, it just makes sense to always work in a flexible way, to find the work that fits your life, to find some kind of work that keeps you current. And I'm not saying work 60 hours a week and commute a long distance and travel overnight and all those kinds of things. I'm saying that even if you had one freelance job a quarter, you're going to be far better off than a woman who takes the average 12-year hiatus out of the workforce to care for children.
So let's talk about this for a minute, because I think it's an interesting subject, which is why people get so passionate about it. I had people I knew who were texting me about this, and it really is a sensitive subject for a lot of people for many reasons. You know, on the one hand, you have women who say, well, if you have a woman who's out there earning more than a man, that could emasculate the men. On the other hand, I hear what you're saying is you're saying it's not about earning more than a man or even earning equal. It's just about being in a position where you can be self-sufficient. That way, no matter what curveballs life throws at you, if God forbid a parent does become ill or you need to spend extra time with the family, that gives you choices rather than being at the effect of your situation, is what I'm hearing you say.
That's absolutely correct. And in my career coaching practice, I often feel like I am a psychiatrist more than a career coach, because I have so many women coming to me in a crisis situation. They're coming to me because their husband lost a job and isn't finding another one quickly, or their husband got sick and they, you know, don't have disability insurance. And even if they did, it would be minuscule. Or they got divorced, or something that's happening more and more and that no one's really thinking about is that our parents are living longer than they ever thought they would. And even if they were affluent at one time, they could and will likely reach a point, at least for a few years and usually for much longer, where they need a lot of care. It could be around the clock care. And if you're married and you have two sets of aging parents, that's up to four aging parents who could potentially run out of money and need your help. And, you know, some people who have more affluent parents kind of look at me like, oh, well, that's never going to happen. But if you need 24-hour care at $25 an hour, and it goes on for years, you run through money pretty quickly.
Yeah, and that makes sense. I mean, I think I've seen it even in my own family, and I have a lot of friends and people who are in that position, and it can take away from a job. So let's say that somebody might be in this position. Perhaps they're taking time off in between work right now. And let's just say it's a woman for the sake of your book and what we're discussing right now. And that your recommendation is that she does something to help stay fiscally responsible I'm going to take that out. Instead of saying fiscally responsible, that she has an opportunity to still generate an income of some sort for herself. How would somebody even begin to go about doing that? Are you suggesting that people do something like Ubering or other gig sort of work like Upwork or something of that nature? Or do you have other suggestions that you address in your book?
The wonderful thing is that today, flexible work is professional. And it's lucrative, and it's varied, and it's in every industry, and it's from the administrative to the executive levels. So you don't have to think that your option, if you want to work in a less than full-time corporate job, is to be an Uber driver or to work in a doctor's office or to work at a local retail store. There are so many opportunities now to work, and actually I talk about six different kinds of flexible work in my book. Today there are flexible full-time jobs, which most women don't realize. So that means that it's flexible in terms of schedule, or flexible in terms of where the work gets done, in the employer's office or in a home office or a shared workspace or whatever. There are flexible part-time jobs, and you know, it used to be that when you heard part-time job, it was more the Uber, the retail store kinds of things. But now there are lots of employers who are trying to avoid paying health care. And if they, if somebody works for them for 20 hours a week, they're not obligated to pay healthcare benefits. So there's a greater demand for more part-time workers. And the other great thing about part-time work is that if you work 30 hours and you work for a company that has 50 or more employees, they are required to pay health benefits even though you're working just 30 hours. So that's a great thing, and that opens a lot of possibility. I've mentioned telecommuting. There are jobs now that are 100% telecommuting from the get-go, where, you know, they expect that you're going to work at home all the time. But telecommuting can also be a much looser term, meaning that you telecommute from a job, you know, 2 or 3 days a week. You work at home. There are endless freelance opportunities, and they range, as I said, from more administrative type of work all the way up to more executive levels. We're moving to a freelance economy. There are experts who say that by 2030, 50% of the workforce will be freelance. So companies are very open now to freelancers. And it used to kind of be that freelancers were kind of thought as odd ducks who couldn't hold a you know, permanent full-time job. I know that's because I used to be a recruiter and they were always kind of wary of freelancers. But now freelancing has a tremendous amount of respect, and it can be very lucrative. What the stats are is that most freelancers who leave a full-time job actually earn more within a year. So there's, you know, lots of opportunity there. And then if you are a consultant, if you want to develop more of a practice, if you used to have, you know, a full-time marketing job and you want to start doing marketing projects and, you know, build up a practice where you're a marketing expert, you can, you know, take on as many or as few clients as you want. You could say, I'm only going to work during the school year. I'm going to, you know, not take jobs during the summer. And so that's a tremendous amount of opportunity, and companies are really relying on consultants for specific initiatives now. They're also relying on a lot of older workers for consulting assignments because of the low unemployment rate. There's a, you know, drain of talent and expertise. So they're, you know, no longer pushing older workers out the door. They, you know, they want that knowledge base, and they're hiring them back as consultants. And then the sixth type of flex work are job shares. They tend to be a little harder and a little less frequent, but if you're you know, currently working and you have responsibilities that are similar to someone else in your organization and you have compatible strengths, you can create a job share where each of you works 2 days a week and then there's one overlap day. So that's, you know, that's another option. So there are a crazy number of options now to work in a flexible way where, I mean, you could just be working during school hours. You could be home for the bus. It's really, I mean, if you can volunteer, if you have time to volunteer, you have time to have a flexible job.
So tell me, I know we've just touched on a lot of different things. There's telecommuting, part-time, freelancing, job shares, etc. But where do people find these jobs? Say somebody out there is tuning in right now and they're saying, well, that sounds great, but I don't know where to find these jobs or if I'd even be qualified for them.
Well, in terms of where to find them, let's start with that. All job seekers, the first thing that they do is, you know, get their resume together and then start looking on online job boards. That's the knee-jerk action when you're looking for a job. And whether you're looking for flexible work or whatever kind of work you're looking for, that is really not the way to find a job. It seems counterintuitive because there are so many job boards today, but job boards are generally big black holes and you can get lost, you know, down that rabbit hole and you're, you know, they're getting for every job opening, they're getting thousands and thousands of resumes and lots of the jobs are no longer open and lots of the jobs, there is no intention to hire anyone from the outside. They're being posted because of equal opportunity laws that, you know, like big corporations are following. So with very few exceptions, looking for jobs online is really a fool's errand. And I'll put a plug in for Flex Jobs. I think that they do a really good job of finding professional, well-paid, flexible positions at all levels. So that's worth looking at. And they vet them and they keep them current and all of that. That's great. Another great resource is this cottage industry that is growing of boutique recruiting firms that are focused on helping women find flexible work. And on my website, KatherineSolomon.com, I have something called the Flex Work for Women Alliance. And I list a lot of these boutique firms that are nationwide. They have different, you know, some of them have only a regional focus. Some of them have a national focus. Some of them have, a specific niche that they work in, like law or technology. But some of them, many of them are generalists, and they're doing really great things helping women find flexible work. So it's worth looking at those firms and getting registered with them and, you know, following what they're doing. And lots of them have jobs that are posted. But Flex Jobs, the Flex Work Alliance that I have, yes, those are good resources. But the fact is that you really have to do a lot of networking for any job, but especially for flexible jobs, because you're not going to find a lot of flexible jobs posted if you're not looking on a site like Flex Jobs. And so you really have to get out there and be talking to lots of people. And a tip is to be focused on smaller employers, because the big, large, you know, multinational corporations are having to institutionalize flexibility across large global workforces, and they're slow to change. And some of them are doing a really good job. Some of them are really trying earnestly to change their cultures. But the majority are, you know, still stuck in a lot of bureaucratic red tape. So smaller companies, and I'm not necessarily talking about, you know, mom and pop or startups. I mean, those are good options too. But I'm just saying, not the huge household name corporations. Anything that's smaller than that, they have the ability to be more nimble, to be more human, and to be more flexible.
Yeah, and I think there are other great websites out there. I know there are a lot of gig economy specific websites, like, for example, Fiverr or Upwork, that do projects, and then that can give you a really great way to bid on different projects. But if you Google it out there, there are many different flexible and gig sort of apps that you can use to bid on work, depending on what your area of expertise is. There are even remote virtual assistant sort of jobs that people can apply for. And I do agree that things have definitely changed dramatically. And I think it's wonderful that whether you're a man or a woman, that you have the opportunity, should you choose to work and to, you know, build your finances and resources for down the road. So I think it is wonderful that your book gives people these opportunities to look into this. So tell me, Catherine, you know, I know we've covered a lot in, you know, in this period of, you know, the six different ways that people can approach flexible work. Were there any other tips or suggestions that you had that we haven't already covered that you would love to share with our listeners?
Well, I think on my website, there is a blog that I call Nine Lives for Women. And there is a lot of advice there about how to find a flexible job, how to zero in on your specialized skill set, because often flexible jobs are more specialized than a permanent full-time job that tend to morph into a lot of different areas. So you can get lots of information about how to find a flexible job and how to zero in on your skill set. And my book is a lot about how to find a flexible job, how to rationalize the cost of childcare, all of that, but also to really make the case for why women should always work in some way, in a flexible way. There are a lot of eye-opening statistics that will really compel women to see that they can work in a flexible way and still be the mothers that they want to be.
Yeah, and I think it's great. I think that things have changed so dramatically from, you know, the 50s where women didn't work at all to the 70s, 80s, 90s where women started to take on more prominent roles, and now into the 2000s where people do have the opportunity to have both. I think it's wonderful that it's not an either or thing. Either you can have a family or you can work. You can really have it all if you're a man or a woman. It doesn't matter. And I think that it's important that people understand the tools and resources that are available to be successful, whatever they choose to do.
Absolutely. It's important for women to develop their own brand of ambition and success. And with flexible work, you really can do that today.
That's terrific. Well, thank you so much, Catherine. If people did want to go ahead and purchase the book, where would they do so at?
The book is on Amazon and Goodreads and in your local bookstore.
Okay, fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Catherine. If you missed any portion of today's show, do keep in mind that you can find the show later in the week available on iTunes under Get Yourself the Job on iTunes. We invite you to rate us, leave us any comments or feedback. We're always looking for new and interesting ideas of thoughts of things you'd like to hear on the show. And then we also offer that on the latalkradio.com website on the Get Yourself the Job page, immediately following the show, you can find the show available for download in the archive section at the bottom of the page. So thank you so much for everybody who tuned in today, and thanks so much to Catherine for all the great advice you gave us on how to pursue flexible work.
Thanks so much. It was great to be here.
All right. Take care.
Listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.